Greetings, saints. God be with you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask, Lord, that you bless our brethren to protect them and to prepare them to walk by faith in some very hard days to come. Thank you so much, Lord, for having mercy upon your people. In Jesus' name. Well, all right, saints. I want to share with you what I believe is God's warning of coming pestilence. The deep state shadow government appears to be planning a biological weapon against Russia and the United States. In the United States, it would be to distract from investigations and steps which are sinking their ship, basically. And Trump has commanded an audit of the Pentagon, which is where much money is being funneled to the deep state and their purposes. The same thing happened when Donald Rumsfeld reported the theft of $2.4 trillion, which investigation was stopped the next day by the 911 false flag. And then, of course, it was followed by an incessant war throughout the Middle East against those who had nothing to do with this situation, but it was handy to bring in oil reserves for the elite. So, this pestilence could be the pneumonic plague, which is caused by bubonic plague germs reaching the lungs and becoming airborne and very contagious. And it seems like it was incubated in Madagascar, which is something I spoke way back in the beginning when this first happened. I thought, that doesn't sound right. And is being spread to the enemies of the deep state, which I know to be Russia and the United States. And as a greater 911 false flag. You know, it's funny how history repeats. I believe that this plague is making a comeback and turns into pneumonic plague when it does get into the lungs. And it's happening in this country. It started, I should say, happening in this country. It's been found in the bears who eat the rodents who are bitten by the fleas that carry it. And I got to say, it can only come from God, as our morning verses all say. We've been warned about this for a long time. We didn't know how far off it was. But now we're getting an idea that it's very close, because the beginnings of it have already shown up. And I say it comes from God, even though it may come through other vessels like the devil or the people of the false flag. And Madagascar, of course, is fighting it now. And I'll send you a link to point all this out. Don't have time to read it. This could be a perversion of the pneumonic plague. Something about germs found on the space station that the Russian intelligence knew about, and the Russians sent up a missile with an instrument to be able to track this plague when it appears to have been microwave lasered by the deep state. And they lost their missile. Suddenly, the deep state showed up at one of their boats, and it was gone. No doubt, more microwave lasering. Yeah. And I'll give you a couple of links that you can study that. The main thing I want to do is use this as a platform to get out information to protect people in the face of this plague. It's kind of a scary thing. You don't want fear, and you don't want sin. You understand? These things will rob your faith, and if you lose your faith, you'll lose your life. But also, this is a way to prove who is a real believer and who is not. And there are lots of people who are not. They've got their own versions of Christianity, none of which work for them. And we just received this word in our morning meeting, Ezekiel 32 and 11. For thus saith the Lord, the sword of the king of Babylon shall come upon thee. And I believe Babylon is the deep state and their shadow government. It has come upon thee. And I sent this article as I was beginning it to Deborah, and she sent this back on the 11th. She said, no coincidence that the study came up by random on my car player that I'm re-listening to. Is God's vaccine. And that was exactly what I had in mind to put on this with all the links so that you could study what God's vaccine against these things are. In short, it's repentance and faith in what God says. And of course, you're not going to find that in many churches. And she went on to say, another confirmation of a false flag biological attack. Same thing I had already written, you know. And this series called God's Vaccine is just full of vital information for those who wish God's immunization against this and any other disease, by the way. Also, there is a link there to No Plague Be Upon You. And also God's protection from weapons of mass destruction. And of course, if you do a search, you'll come up with a lot of stuff, but I just picked those. And then Pamela Orr received this revelation somewhere between 11:28 and 12:04. She said, I was awakened for the second time in 1 week at the same time of the night, 11:56. That's a pretty good sign, I think. I heard, prepare to write. And I slipped out of bed and went to the secret place and began to write what I was hearing. Since a few nights prior I had been given a word and dream about judgment, I asked, is it judgment again, Lord? And he said, yes, judgment of horrific kind. Tell my people to hide themselves even as you are now hiding. She was in her secret place, right? In prayer to God. It is a disease that I am sending. Only you who truly believe in my saving power will be safe from this pestilence. For it does not originate from this earth. Many people now drawing breath will be dead in a few short months. And then I was startled because I heard Steve cough loudly as if on cue. God does that. He kind of punctuates things for us, you know. And as I paused to collect myself, I heard a word in my spirit that was like sozo, which means saved, but was different and longer. I've never formally studied the Greek language, but I was able to find it in my Hebrew-Greek Key Study Bible. The word I heard was soterion, which is salvation, which is the noun of the verb sozo. So, salvation. We need salvation. Salvation is bigger than people claim. It's salvation for your body, too, to save you in difficult situations like this. And, of course, a very, very high percentage of the church does not believe that, even though it's in there in the black and white. That's their problem, and that's why God is going to judge apostate Christianity and their leaders. And he's going to spring his true elect out of bondage to Babylonish leaders, is what he's going to do with all of this, and prepare people to go into the wilderness. You couldn't dynamite people out of some of these churches, you know. But God can get them out of there. And he can send them on down the road. And there's only a few people that know about the wilderness. The rest of these preachers have never lived there, even though that's what we're called to do. She said, I meditated on this thought for a while and gained some comfort, like a breather, no pun intended. Then I was impressed to write, now I will give a word of further instruction to my servant David. Well, this is true. I was writing this article before Pam remembered this word from the Lord, and she didn't even know it. So, I mean, it was true. Good fulfillment there. She said in a note, I cannot remember whether the verses were obtained with a pencil or just came into my mind, my spirit. But John 7:43. So there was a division among the people because of him. And she said this division was number 4978, schisma, to split, to tear, from where we get our word schism, you know. She said, division in mind, sentiments, and so into factions. And that's taken from the Hebrew-Greek Key Study Bible. Well, the faction that came against the prophets, and against David, and against Jesus, is coming against the Davids in our day. Their enemies are proof of who they are, because this is history repeating. These factions were always destroyed by the beast, just like this faction will be destroyed by this pestilence and this beast. And the Lord then spoke the helmet of salvation, Ephesians 6:17. The survivors will be those with their helmets on, he said. And that just means their minds are protected by God's promises against assaults and thoughts from the spirit world that would destroy their faith and them. It is most important that you walk by faith through this thing. Nothing else will save. The Lord went on to say to her, this disease is from another world. The Russians did not bring it. The Americans did not bring it. I am bringing it. And literally, the article that I sent you, you know, or that I linked for earlier in this that I spoke about, was about germs on the space station that they were obviously experimenting with. And then that will be in that article. But the Lord says, I am bringing it, and I can guarantee you that is the fact. We've gotten many, many words about this coming for a long time, and the Lord always takes credit for it. Even though it might come through the hand of man, it doesn't make any difference. They are not sovereign. He is. A man may choose his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Ultimately, all things come from God. John 3:27 says, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it have been given him from heaven. And I say, yes, Lord, it's the truth. You are sovereign. You work all things together. And Ephesians 1:11, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. So that's why God always takes credit for these things. It doesn't matter who it comes by. It matters is him. A lot of people want to deal with the vessel, but you got to deal with God, you know. The vessels of dishonor through whom a judgment comes are not to given sovereignty in the word. But because of what they do, they are judged. And the Lord went on to say, whole families will be lost. Those of you who remain, see that you do not lose your faith in me. Yet if you're going to remain, you can't lose your faith in God. I am a trustworthy God. I'm removing many, even millions, who would have fallen to the mark, which is even now waiting in the wings. Yes, this is true. Yes, it is a breathing disease, he said. Listen, there's lots of reasons why God takes people out of this world. What is it, Isaiah 57:1? The righteous perisheth, and no man lays it to heart, but that they're taken away from the evil to come. Some people would not stand in the evil to come, and God knows it. He may be taking them at a lesser fruit. Obviously, if you leave it in the field a while, you can get more fruit. He may be taking it a lesser fruit, but he knows that many people wouldn't stand. And already there's doctrines out there that would cause Christians to take the mark of the beast, because they say that the mark of God trumps the mark of the beast. What they don't know is you can't have them both. But they believe anything goes. They're once saved, always saved, and they're going to send lots of people to hell. I asked, Father, what must we do to be saved from this pestilence? Let me say that this is very well answered by the Lord in the series that I spoke about, God's Vaccine. And it's all going to be linked on this page. But the Lord's answer was, repent and believe. Well, there's an awful lot of people in denial out there about their sin. And they don't bother to read the Word to find out if it is sin. They don't want to hear it, because they want to keep doing it. So people do have to repent, and they do have to believe the full gospel, the miniature gospel that you can find in most churches. It won't save you from this, because they just trust in man. And cursed is the man that trusts in man and maketh the flesh his arm. Remember, if you add to or take away from the words of the book, you're under a curse, according to the last four verses of the book. So that's what gets people out from under the curse, is believing all that the Bible says about you and your circumstances. Remember what the Lord said, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Do you believe that? If you don't believe it and you don't confess it, you don't have it. Because it's be it unto you according to your faith. And I might say, if you have sin in your life, you will have no boldness towards God. And that's exactly what you're going to need. So, repent and believe. Become the Word made flesh, he said. I got that from him, that's what we're supposed to be many years ago. Study my son John G. Lake. He was the forerunner of a people who walked through pestilence. Yes, and I'll leave you a link here to what John Lake said about the bubonic plague, which is very interesting, along with a lot of good teaching there. He said, you who are bold will walk through this alien pestilence and not be taken down by it. You who know me will be unafraid of the dead along the highways and byways. And Pam said, Father, this sounds awful. How can I give this message to David? I want to return to my bed and forget this night. He said, Pamela, I saved you for this time, for such a time as this. You have already seen death in people's eyes. You will not disobey me. Well then, Father, give me another dream like you did last time. The first time you woke me at 11:56. And keep me faithful to put on paper what you will show me, and make it impactful, and make known to David any more info he's supposed to have. because you really haven't told me much except alien pestilence. So the Lord said, no one will have the remedy. I will laugh at the mighty men as they run futilely for their holes. I believe that even those who are used to spread this disease will be taken down by it. Tell the internet readers to forget their word searches, etc. There is no remedy but me, and only me. Okay, you may think about this naturally, that there's no remedy, but I don't believe that's what he's talking about. I believe that this means that no remedy can be counted on to save us from this, but God's remedy. Because he can make sure anybody dies that's supposed to die, and it doesn't matter what they do. He is in control over who lives and who dies, and no vaccine can circumvent or stop him. He is sending this for a purpose. He is going to clean up Christianity. He is going to clean out the apostates that have deceived his people. He is going to clean out the factious. He is going to clean them out and get God's people ready to go into the wilderness. Deuteronomy 32 and 39 says, see now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. Now that's what I mean when I tell you that I think I know what God means by no remedy. There is no remedy but him, period. You know, in bacteriological warfare, the elite always hold on to what they think is the remedy, and then they send out what they want to do. But God is saying there won't be a remedy. He will take out who he wants to take out. And so the real remedy is repent and believe in divine health. Not just divine healing, but divine health. Note, the last part that I thought I heard, I did not write down. It is what I mentioned at the morning meeting, the part that we cast down, that even people from local UBM would die. I refuse to believe or accept that thought, since it does not line up with what I understand the New Covenant to be saying. Some of you know that I had a situation like that many, many years ago, where I had received cancer, and I knew it, and I got a confirmation, and I decided I was going to go home and get a word from the Lord. And the Lord said, I put my finger down right on, thou shalt die and not live. And I said to the Lord, but Lord, that doesn't fit your covenant with me, by whose stripes you were healed, etc., etc., you know. So I'm asking you to give me something that's in agreement with your covenant. It was a test. And you're going to be tested with this thing that's coming. It was a test. And so I'm asking you to give me another word. I flipped my Bible up and stuck my finger down on thou shalt live and not die. It was just the opposite. And the only other place in the Bible it was found. What are the chances of that? You know, God's going to test you if you're going to believe his covenant or voices or other things or peoples or opinion or whatever. He's going to test you. The only thing you can win in this with is the knowledge of the Word and standing firm upon the rock of Jesus, the Word of God. Here's a portion of A.A. Allen's vision. I'll put a link here to the full version. He said, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Psalm 91, 5 and 6. Then as I watched, another amazing thing was taking place. Far to the northwest, just out over Alaska, a huge black cloud was arising. As it rose, it was as black as night. It seemed to be in the shape of a man's head. As it continued to rise, I observed two light spots in the black cloud. It rose further, and a gaping hole appeared, and I could see the black cloud was taking the shape of a skull. For now, the huge white gaping mouth was plainly visible. Finally, the head was complete. Then the shoulders began to appear, and on either side, long black arms. It seemed that what I saw was the entire North American continent spread out like a map upon a table, with this terrible skeleton form cloud arising from behind the table. It rose steadily until the form was visible down to the waist, and as the waist, the skeleton seemed to bend towards the United States, stretching forth a hand towards the east and one towards the west, one towards New York and one towards Seattle. As the awful form stretched forward, I could see that its entire attention seemed to be focused upon the United States, overlooking Canada, at least for the time being. As I saw the horrible black cloud in the form of a skeleton bending towards America, bending from the waist over, reaching down towards Chicago and out towards both coasts, I knew its one interest was to destroy the multitudes. Why just the United States? Well, that's where the deep state's biggest battle is. They're the ones that have the planes that spray overhead. And they spread every kind of experiment that they can imagine up there onto people. The hospitals in our area, talked to a nurse just the other day, which was Eve, and she told me that the hospitals all around the area are full of people from that stuff. Well, I believe it. It's been that way for a long time. And especially lately, they seem very agitated. Lately, they're overspraying. Most of us have been totally immune to it, you know, through faith. Again, A.A. Allen said, as I watched in horror, the great black cloud stopped just above the Great Lakes region and turned its face towards New York City. Then out of the horrible great gaping mouth began to appear wisps of white vapor which looked like smoke, as a cigarette smoker would blow puffs of smoke from his mouth. These whitish vapors were being blown towards New York City. The smoke began to spread until it had covered all of the eastern part of the United States. Then the skeleton turned to the west, and out of the horrible mouth and nostrils came another great puff of white smoke. Have you been seeing the white smoke up there? This time it was blown in the direction of the West Coast, and in a few moments' time, the entire West Coast and Los Angeles area were covered with its vapors. Let me say, now I don't know for sure if this is applying to this, but it's a possibility, so I'm sharing it. But these are the major population centers, you know, that are being targeted here. Then towards the center came a third great puff, and as I watched, St. Louis and Kansas City were enveloped in its white vapors. And then on they came towards New Orleans. And then on they swept until they reached the Statue of Liberty, where she stood staggering drunkenly in the blue waters of the Gulf. And as the white vapors began to spread around the head of the statue, she took in but one gasping breath, and in other words, it's a breathing disease, right? And then began to cough. Huh, very similar to what Pam's husband did, right? As though to rid her lungs of the horrible vapors she had inhaled. One could readily discern by the coughing that those white vapors had seared her lungs. What were these white vapors? Could they signify bacteriological warfare or nerve gas that could destroy multitudes of people in a few moments of time? Then I heard a voice of God as he spoke again. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be, as with the people, so with the priest, and as with the servant, so with his master, and as with the maid, so with her mistress, and with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, and as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Who is that? That's God's people. That's the only people that break the covenant. They got to have it before they can break it. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwelleth therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Isaiah 24:1-6. As I watched, the coughing grew worse. It sounded like a person about to cough out their lungs. The Statue of Liberty was moaning and groaning. She was in mortal agony. The pain must have been terrific. What is it about liberty that we're losing here, right? Or that they're going to attempt to take anyway? I still believe absolutely and totally that Cyrus is going to whoop them. But that doesn't mean they won't lash out to try to save themselves. The pain must have been terrific, as again and again she tried to clear her lungs of those horrible white vapors. I watched her there in the gulf as she staggered, clutching her lungs and her breast with her hands. Then she fell to her knees, and in a moment she gave one final cough, made a last desperate effort to rise from her knees, and then fell face forward into the waters of the gulf, and lay still as death. Tears ran down my face as I realized that she was dead. Only the lapping of the waves splashing over her body, which was partly under the water and partly out of the water, broke the stillness. Quote, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. Remember that fire is going to have something to do with this. I'm going to share something about that in a minute. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Notice, this is bringing a wilderness. Suddenly the silence was shattered by the screaming of sirens. The sirens seemed to scream, run for your lives! Never before had I heard such shrill, screaming sirens. They seemed to be everywhere, to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. There seemed to be multitudes of sirens, as I looked, I saw people everywhere running. But it seemed none of them ran more than a few paces, and then they fell. And even as I had seen the Statue of Liberty struggling to regain her poise and balance, and finally falling for the last time to die on her face, I now saw millions of people falling in the streets, on the sidewalks, struggling. I heard their screams for mercy and help. I heard their horrible coughing as though their lungs had been seared with fire. I heard the moanings and groanings of the doomed and the dying, and I watched a few finally reached shelters, but only a few ever got to the shelters. Shelters, of course, the only shelter the Lord said in his particular case is himself, the secret place of the Most High. Now I want to tell you about words of God that we've gotten for 6 months. From 6:10:17 to 12:12:17, In the last 6 months, we have received warnings of pestilence attacks in our morning prayer meeting. Verses given by God. I want to say I only checked back to 6 months. It could have gone a lot further back than that, but I just wanted to make a point. So, in the natural, many of these pestilence attacks were the result of siege by the Chaldeans or Babylonians. Spiritually, I believe that they're also known as the deep state against the right wing and Christianity. Their major enemy is Christianity. They invaded this country with Muslims to be prepared to wipe out Christianity here. And that failed because of prayer, and it's still failing. So they're now backed into a corner, and that's a dangerous place for a polecat to be. In studying these texts, God will use this to take down his enemy of apostate Christianity so that there will be a cleansing and a revival and a restoration of the fear of the Lord. And those who keep the spiritual Passover will be delivered before the tribulation arrives, just as it was when the people came out of Egypt just 7 days before they got to the Red Sea. There was the Passover, where God didn't let the destroyer come into their houses because they lived under the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel, and because they ate the lamb, who is Jesus Christ, who also said, "Except you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you." And we know that the body represents the word, and the blood, Leviticus 17:11 says, "The life of the flesh is in the blood." Our parents' blood brought us into the curse, and the blood of Jesus brings us out of the curse. As in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. That is, in Christ. "Except you abide in me," he said, "you don't bear fruit. You're plucked up, thrown in the fire." So it's very important that you get these principles. And you can check on these links here and you'll find these principles. In the verses that we received below, by faith at random during the 6 months, the word pestilence is in blue, I believe, about 29 times. And we all also received many more texts than this during this time that spoke of God's judgment to destroy apostate Christianity. These people are guilty of the blood of the saints. They are the harlot. Yeah, I know you're trying to pick out a certain religion. That is a mother of harlots, but the mother of harlots is the body of all apostate Christianity. And we're commanded to come out from among them and be separate, because they do not teach the word. They give you every reason why you don't need the word. So God, in many verses, we have seen that God's planning to judge apostate Christianity. And that's the only reason God's people would go into the wilderness and following the man-child. Remember the judgments that came on Egypt? It made them willing to follow Moses and go into the wilderness. Okay? And of course, apostate Christianity and their leadership especially will be judged by this for their rebellion against the word. It's in there in black and white. A child can read it. And, of course, the Word is the only truth that we have to go by to create true Christianity. So these people have destroyed it. In Jeremiah 34:12, I'm going to read portions of this because there's too much to read, right? "I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. But your fathers hearkened not unto me. I proclaim unto you a liberty, says the Lord, to the sword, to the pestilence, and to the famine." In this text, no forgiveness brings judgment from God. In Ezekiel 7, "They have blown the trumpet and have made all ready, but None goeth to the battle, for my wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. The sword is without, and the pestilence, and the famine within. And he that is in the field shall die with the sword, and he that is in the city, famine and pestilence shall devour him. But those of them that escape shall escape, and shall be on the mountains like doves of the valley, all of them moaning, every one in his iniquity. Another point you made there is their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. In Ezekiel 33, lift up your eyes unto your idols and shed blood, and shall ye possess the land? You stand upon your sword, you work abomination, you defile every one his neighbor's wife, and shall ye possess the land? They that are in the strongholds and in the caves shall die of the pestilence. Then shall they know that I am the Lord when I have made the land a desolation and an astonishment because of all their abominations which they have committed. God's people he's talking to. They hear thy words, but do them not. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their gain. And we can tell from this text that hearers but not doers shall die by the pestilence. Jeremiah 24. After that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the craftsmen and the smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten, they are so bad. And so there are bad tastes in the mouth of the world, too. And again, I'm reading portions of the text here. And the bad figs which cannot be eaten, they are so bad, surely, thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem. This is the apostate leadership of God's people at this particular time, that remained in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt. And we can see here that the apostate leadership of God's people will be judged. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. Another text, and I will send the sword, famine, and pestilence among them. Notice the Lord said, I will send this, right? Another text, Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, what doest thou? The prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the dark, and shall go forth. My net also will I spread upon him. He shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. But I will leave a few men of them from the sword, and from the famine, and from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the nations whither they come. And they shall know that I am the Lord. So the apostate leadership of Zedekiah, the faction which he was, is judged. Another one. And with pestilence and with blood will I enter into judgment with him. Another one. And they are come unto the city to take it, and the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it. Maybe the city of Babylon, right? Because of the sword, and of the famine, and of the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken is come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. The city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set this city on fire, and burn it, with the houses upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal. Baal, of course, is a symbol of the false Jesus in the churches. By the way, the deep state military can burn individual houses and churches at will from the sky with directed energy weapons. And I have suspected for a long while that we will see another rash of church burnings, and no one on the ground will be seen or caught doing this. And I ask the Lord if these were laser weapons destroying the homes in California, and I got three heads for confirmation. Microwaves don't burn foliage, but metal, as anybody who puts these in a microwave knows. The burning metal then destroys foliage that's very close to it. The pictures all over the net show metal burned and melted totally, while trees and other buildings right next to them are fine. In fact, trees all the way around a building are fine. It didn't spread by a forest fire. These were computer focused on and fired into the middle of the buildings. That's where the fire started. In other words, it was not a forest fire that spread into 14 different areas. The areas were burned almost simultaneously. The pictures all over the internet prove these things. I'm going to put you some links here. You can look at them and everybody will know that this didn't happen by any forest fire. And the planes that carry the directed energy weapons, I'm going to put you a link to that. And most of the blue flashes that were seen over the fires were from large planes fitted with directed energy weapons. Helicopters have DEW weapons too. I'll put a link to that. And a text, we're still in the same text here, but it says, "For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have done only that which was evil in my sight from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, says the Lord." Another text, "And I will bring a sword upon you that shall execute vengeance of the covenant. And you shall be gathered together within your cities, and I will send pestilence among you. And you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. When I break your staff of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied." In case you wonder why we receive words this way, it's been done for centuries, all the way back to the apostles. Full gospel people, full of the Spirit, have used this. And by the way, the Lord said, "All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive." So when you ask God to give you an answer, and He is absolutely, totally sovereign, and you know that, and you believe that, you can trust Him to give you the answer. And He does. "I send pestilence among my people. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." Here's another text. "I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword and have carried away your horses. And I have made the stench of your camp to come up even unto your nostrils. And yet have you not returned unto me, says the Lord. Therefore will I do unto thee, O Israel," because an Israel is a type of the church. It's just the Old Testament church, right? "But the things that happen unto them are for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. And they are for types. Therefore do I unto thee, O Israel, because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my wrath upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord, they should deliver neither son nor daughter. They should but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, and the evil beasts, and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be carried forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and you shall see their way and their doings, and you shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem." Yes, there's going to be a holy people that is going to escape, and you're going to know the difference between holiness and wickedness. That's it. "Even concerning all that I have brought upon it, and they shall comfort you when you see their way and their doings, and you shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, says the Lord. Yep, the church is in rebellion to the word and will answer for this. Okay, another text. And they built the high places of Baal, again, the false Jesus, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech. And of course, people are sending their children straight to hell, into the fires of hell, because they've made their own covenant that doesn't work. Which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind, that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. And now, therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city whereof you say, it is given into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword and by famine and by pestilence. Another one. And I spoke unto Zedekiah, king of Judah. Again, him and all of his were apostate leadership. Bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people, and live. Why will you die, thou and thy people? By the sword, and by famine, and by pestilence, as the Lord has spoken concerning the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon. Well, notice the play on words here. Because the Christian right wing does not submit to the deep state Babylon, they will use pestilence to try to wipe out what, in effect, will be apostate Christianity. I mean, the motive might be different, but just take the words and look at the words. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and of course he's done all these things, and if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek their face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive this. And sometimes we get repeats even. In fact, we've had repeats in the same room at the same time. Two people, flip the Bible open, that's a lot of words there. And get the exact same verses. It's happened to us many times. And that's God speaking. We've had one girl get one text over and over and over and over. And there's nothing stuck in her Bible, you know. And she's even using different Bibles. That's God saying, hey, pay attention, huh? The kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, which of course we're not doing, you know. That nation will I punish, says the Lord, with the sword, with famine, and with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Notice the play on words again. Because the Christian right wing does not submit to the deep state Babylon, they will use pestilence to try to wipe out what in effect will be apostate Christianity. Though our iniquities testify against us, work thou for thy name's sake, O Lord, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, even so have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet, therefore the Lord doth not accept them. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. And the Lord said unto me, pray not for this people for their good. And when they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and meal offering, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. It won't stop. It's going to take people out. Some of them for their good and some of them for their bad. Alas, because of all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, famine, and pestilence. He that's far off shall die of the pestilence, and he that is near shall fall by the sword. And he that remaineth and he and is besieged shall die by the famine. You know, they will besiege these cities, and you won't be able to come out. You'll be stuck in there with all these sick people. And if you're not full of faith, they'll take you down. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon them, he says. And by the way, where the idols were, that's where the dead bodies were. Pam said that, and she said the sword at the Las Vegas concert and gambling. That's right. The sword happened there. We saw that. The city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it, because the sword, and of the famine, and of the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken is come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. And I do believe we're going to see it. Well, okay, I'm running out of time here, so there's a lot more here that I haven't been able to read. Here's one. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will send upon them the sword and famine and pestilence, and will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so bad. And I will pursue after them with the sword and with famine and with the pestilence. You want to make sure you got the message, right? And will deliver them to be tossed to and fro among all the kingdoms of the earth, to be an execration and an astonishment and a hissing and a reproach, etc., etc. And with pestilence and with blood will I enter into judgment with him. Because it does get in the blood, doesn't it? Well, you see my point. I've said enough. And I'm going to put a lot of information on this page here. And, of course, we'll link the audio to this page. And I may make parts 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 after this. I don't know. I do want to warn people. And I pray that people out there will understand what needs to be done to be preserved through this terrible judgment. And, of course, to release people from their Babylonish captivity to dead religion, so that they will go into the wilderness, which will be readily available. But after this is over, there's no economy when you do this. People can't go around people, so you can't have an economy. You know, it just takes everything down. So wilderness will be everywhere. I shouldn't laugh, I guess. But Father, in the name of Jesus, have mercy upon your people. Please, get your people prepared. Grant wisdom to repent, Father. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Wisdom to repent. Turn your people away from their sins and grant them repentance to go and read your word and find out what you do to preserve them through such a time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay. Thank you, saints, for joining us today, and God be with you.